Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Circles of Prosperity with Dr. Reginald Johnson and Cynthia Johnson, your hosts. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Oh my goodness, it's so glorious to be awake this morning. We are studying oneness, and we're in chapter 10. So we're going to get started this morning. Dr. Reggie is not online this morning. I am going to see if there's a volunteer who'd like to do the opening prayer this morning. We'll make this a group thing. If you'd like to volunteer for the opening prayer, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. I'll give you a second. No takers. Alrighty then, and I'll start with the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in thanksgiving. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us the breath of life. Thank you for opening our hearts and our minds to receive this glorious message. Thank you for the opportunity to move into your being, to know the truth of that reality. Thank you. Thank you for this journey to enlightenment. Wow, the music stopped playing finally. And thank you for the music stopped playing. And so it is. I apologize for the pause there. I was just a little taken back. I didn't know what was going on. Anyway, we do thank God for this opportunity to be able to share this wonderful information with each other. And to open our hearts and our minds so that we can pursue this journey without fear and release ourselves from fear and from lack and limitation. And we gloriously await the opportunity for instantaneous manifestation. It is here now. And that's a wonderful blessing. It is here now. Today, we're going to be talking about the process of becoming enlightened and what it's like. You know, one of the things that I love about this book is that it's just so poetic. And I've said that to you over and over. It's just the way they put the words together and the allegories, they're absolutely beautiful. And so sometimes I just like to read from it and let the words just marinate over your spirit. The chapter opens with this statement: the clarity you have attained thus far on your journey has served to bring you to this moment. And I'm going to stop here for a moment because I find myself now using the word moment, or saying over and over from moment to moment, I am acknowledging my connection to God moment to moment. And I really encourage you guys to start looking at that. When you have a fleeting thought or you take a deep breath, grab hold of that moment and acknowledge your connection and your divinity. So it says, the clarity you have attained thus far on your journey has served to bring you to this moment, here at this crossroads in time and space that you regard as today. The consciousness of humanity stands poised, an in-breath of life, awaiting the inevitable out-breath to follow. We call it today, but the moment is the moment that you take the in-breath, knowing that the out-breath will follow. And just as the rhythm of the breath is anticipated and experienced in harmony with the rest of your life functions as fact of your physical existence, so too is the rhythm of your awareness. So there's this ebb and a flow of the tides of your emerging consciousness. And it's in harmony with the in-breath and the out-breath of creation. If you stop and contemplate that paragraph there for a moment, I believe that what they're saying is that we're creating all the time. They're bringing us into the awareness that the creation process is what? It's continuous. From moment to moment, not minute by minute, not today, or tomorrow, or sometime in the future. It's every moment, every millisecond is the process of creation. And then they link it with your breath. Isn't that amazing? Because what did God, when we were created as man, the Bible says God breathed into us our soul, which is telling us that God put the divinity in us, is it not? If anybody disagrees with me, press 1 on your telephone keypad and tell me that I got it wrong. I want to know that I have it right. So that is just so powerful today. This morning I woke up and I was praying over that. Wow, how powerful the moment is. The moment. And we take it for granted. How many of you woke up this morning, just jumped out of bed and rolled over and dialed the number for Circles of Prosperity? Or you woke up this morning thinking about everything that you have to do today? Not appreciating the moment that your eyes open, that you are moving and having your being in creation. The moments of clarity intensify and then wane over and over again. The moments of clarity. What do you think that means? One experiences a spark of crystalline awareness, and in that exquisite moment is convinced that clarity is there to stay. Yet, as one reaches to hold on to it, the illumination slips elusively past, and one is left to wonder whether one has actually awakened or is still wandering the back roads of the dream, and in all likelihood, as the process of transformation intensifies, one is experiencing both states of being simultaneously. So that moment of clarity, I believe, is when we have a holy instant. How many of you have ventured into studying the Course in Miracles? They refer to that holy instant. It's that moment that you are aware of your divinity and your oneness with God. And it's so clear to you, and you get it. And then you run off and go talk to your kids, or, you know, you're off to work, or you're driving your car and it's lost. It's not in your consciousness. And you go back and forth. Now, Dr. Reggie says, he tells me, Cynthia, you have two lines of energy. He says there's one line that's fear and another one that's faith, and I do not understand how you can have both of those going through you at one time, because I'm moving between faith and fear, because like I tell you all the time, I'm growing just like you are. I'm on this journey, and here they are in oneness, really describing that same thing. There's a moment of clarity, and then there seems to be this process where I lose it for a minute, and then I come back to it. When I realize I'm off track, I come back to it, to that clarity, and then it slips away again. But here's what they say. The process of awakening is not one in which a definitive threshold is crossed and one is then enlightened or transformed or ascended. And they've told us this before, that it is a process. This journey we are on is a process. Why do you think they continue to repeat that? Because we forget. That's why. We absolutely forget. So they say that there is much backsliding to be expected on this journey. I wouldn't really call it backsliding. Because earlier in the text they say that that is a part of the process. And it is not unlikely to find yourself quite suddenly back at the beginning in your own mind's eye when you were just patting yourself on the back for having scaled some daunting precipice and thinking the summit was at long last in view. That is very much the nature of the experience. And so they do come bring it back to that truth, that we're climbing one mountain after another. And as soon as we get to the peak, we get another one. And we're constantly peeling back the illusion of this physical reality. Constantly. And it's a process. So your own preoccupation with the concept of completion will keep that state of attainment ever elusive. Spiritual growth is not focused on a destination, but rather on the journey itself. The realization of oneness, which is the culmination of the process, is a state of beingness that you will embrace over and over again. And in the moments when that blessed state has slipped through your fingers yet again, know that you have not lost it, but rather have afforded yourself yet another opportunity to find it within the core of your own being. You have another opportunity to make that connection, because there's so much stuff that's ingrained in us that's covering that beautiful spirit, that wondrous divinity within you. And sometimes it just takes time to get to melt all of that away. And you need to be gentle and loving with yourself as you go through that process. Don't beat yourself up over this. When you cease looking for the sense of connectedness and cease seeking answers outside of your own inner source, the interim periods of separation, when your gravest doubts resurface, become fewer and farther between. But ultimately, you embody that knowingness, for you are oneness in essence. And you have been so all along. And when you make the transition from being to knowing, you are on your way to stabilizing the process of embodying that truth, such that you are fully aware of your interconnectedness to all life at all times. How many of you, since you've been going through studying the going with us through this book study have had a deeper understanding of your relationship with all of creation. How many of you really sense that? That is such an expansion of consciousness, isn't it? Just to embrace that you are not alone and that everything that you do impacts everything else on this planet and in the cosmos. That is such a heavy thing to really wrap your arms around. I believe the more you expand your consciousness in that way, the more you become connected to everything in your awareness of it. And it allows you to make that shift from, okay, I hear what Cynthia is saying. I understand intellectually what she's saying. And I believe it to be true. But there's a deeper understanding that opens up to you where you know that you know that you know. Know that the truth you seek is within you. The answers are before the question has been fully formulated. You have manifested everything needed to have everything your heart desires right now. And there is absolutely nothing standing between you and the realization of your deepest longing, which is to reunite in oneness with all creation. You're the only thing that stands in between that truth. The answer is within you. Everything you need has been provided for you. You're there. You just need to move into the awareness that you're there. Everything that is to happen has already happened. It is and continues to be eternally. You don't have to fix anything. You just need to be aware. Moment by moment. When your perception of the illusion of time and space that you know as reality is in harmony energetically with the momentum of the eternal now, you experience what is. And we have that in fleeting moments, that harmony. We have it in fleeting moments. And when the energies wane, you experience the illusion once more of the elusive state of enlightenment just out of reach. But like the rhythms of the tides, this state of awareness washes up on the shores of your consciousness, gently nudging you into recognition of the knowingness harbored deep within. And this knowingness does not wane with the rhythms of the transformation process, but is there within the depths of your being eternally. And that's beautiful. I just want you guys to, at this moment, just take a deep breath and continue to breathe and focus on your breathing. And focus on the fact that you are eternal beings right now. You are divine right now. You are connected to God right now. In this moment. When the difference in these states of being has been experienced sufficiently to notice an emerging pattern, you are ready to begin to unravel the threads of the systems of belief that reinforce the illusion and keep it rooted there. And when you have had the opportunity to taste and experience experience that of the divine connectedness to the extent that it is clearly identifiable and not perceived as a random occurrence, you are ready to embrace the process of peeling back the layers of limitation that reinforce the elusiveness of that experience. And it is in the depths of that process that most who are knowingly in the throes of transformation find themselves. You discover the truth of your being. And then you're able to draw a correlation between the moments of exquisite connectedness and the ease with which the events of one's life fall into place. And then just as suddenly, one is blocked and stymied at every turn. And it appears that despite your best efforts, nothing seems to go right there. These are classic signs of the advanced stages of the journey. Why is this happening to me now? I'm going through one of those moments right now. Why now? I thought I had it all together. No. And they have told us over and over, when the drama occurs, it's an indication that you're near the end of that particular phase of the journey. These are symptoms of a state of beingness in which one's attunement to the higher frequencies is stabilizing. And as one shifts one's focus from the attachments that keep you tied to the material priorities out of fear of loss and embraces the inner directedness and the sense of trust that transcends those concerns, one is able to let go. It is in the letting go of the limitations of the one that the limitlessness of the other may be realized. You got to let go of the fear. You have to let go of the fear. And it is so easy to say that, isn't it? You know, you may be able to let go of the fear in certain areas of your life, and then there's this one area that you may be working on right now and you're having difficulty letting go of that. And at this moment, I'm asking you to take a deep breath and focus on that which you are trying to release. And I am in agreement right now that you are able to let that go and release that block without fear of loss. Trust in trust. Have faith in faith. It's part of your enlightenment, your journey to enlightenment. And it's okay. It's safe. You have nothing to fear. God loves you. You have nothing to fear. If you try to juggle between both states of being as a way of hedging one's bets, okay, the process takes longer. Did you hear that? If you try to juggle between the two states of being, that part where you're trying to connect with, become aware, totally aware of your oneness, of your divinity, but then on the other side, you're not going to trust that God is going to supply your need. And for an example, you need some money, and rather than trusting that God will meet your need, you run out and buy a lottery ticket. You are standing in the way of your advancement, of getting rid of that fear. You're standing in the way of the process. It's going to take you longer to get there. I've often said to you guys, it's not your job to figure out the how. It's only to say what it is that you desire. That's it. And to trust that it will be done. That's all we have to do. I desire this. I trust it is done. That's letting go fear, isn't it? How many of you have something to declare and decree this morning, trusting that it will be done with no doubt in your heart whatsoever? That is powerful. For those able to let go totally in recognition of a connectedness that is undeniable, that shift can be instantaneous. Instantaneous. And that's what I love. You know, the Course in Miracles says that the beauty of a miracle is that it compresses time. And it makes you aware of your divinity, because it defies what we know as reality. That's the whole purpose of the miracle for the healing. To make you aware of the divinity within you. Once that shift has been made and one is clear as to how reality can be choreographed vibrationally. Isn't that a beautiful word? I love this. Choreographed vibrationally. I can see the energies just dancing in the air and leaping in the air and moving and shifting to manifest my desire. So it says, once that shift has been made, once you move into that awareness of your divinity and your connection with all of creation, and it is very clear that reality can be choreographed vibrationally, the foundations for transcending material limitations can be established. And there is no question, when one is at this stage of awareness, that there is a correlation between the inception of thought and the realization of the experience, and one becomes focused on the subtleties of harmonizing one's personal will with the rhythms of creation. And I believe that we need to be in the stillness to be there. We need to hear that still, small voice within us. We need to go into our inner sanctuary to align with that energy, that divine energy. We need to spend time there and bring our inner world in harmony so that we create what we want in our outer reality. When one's energies are attuned to the higher resonance, one is able to sense with ease the direction in which the current is moving, and one is able to be carried by the momentum of that energy to manifest outcomes that are harmonious. And that requires us to breathe, doesn't it? We have to breathe. Be aware of our breathing so that we can become in tune with the energies. Are we in the forcing current? Dr. Reggie teaches that in his mystery school, being in the forcing current. We don't want to be in the forcing current. We want to be in the flow. You know, you really have to admire the creativity of the English language, especially among African Americans. I love that I'm in the flow, because we're so connected to soul. We're so connected with a rhythm. I'm in the flow. when you attempt to defy a situation by meeting adversity head on, one disrupts the momentum and manifests results that are less desirable. You're not in the flow. And that's the forcing current. You're trying to go upstream when the momentum is trying to go downstream. You want to go downstream. To connect with it, move and flow with it, be in harmony with it at all times. Because the minute you try to fight that forcing current, you're in for terrible headwinds. Terrible, terrible headwinds. Conflict can be circumvented simply by allowing it to pass without becoming ensnared in its grasp. Don't get caught up in the drama. Breathe. And mutter to yourself, I love you. I love this experience. I'm going with the flow. I'm in the flow. There's nothing for me to fight here. I surrender. I surrender all. Because the inclination to force one's personal will when resistance is being encountered can only result in an energetic nosedive and the manifestation of circumstances calculated to create frustration. And you become less invested in forcing a result and more inclined to allow for the harmonization of one's own energies with the tides of creation to manifest the desired outcome. So ride the wave of the energies. That is the skill that you want to perfect as part of this process. How do I ride these waves? Recognize when you are in a state of connectedness is key to the timing of your responses to the circumstances as they present themselves to you. And when your energies are at a low ebb and you are experiencing resistance, it is a time to pull inward and not to escalate adversity by directly confronting those circumstances. Because when you are floating upon an energy wave that is on an upsurge, this would be the time to initiate action. Wait. Look at the surfers. They're out there. And there's no wind, and they're waiting for that wave. And they wait till it gets to a certain level so that they can ride that wave down, all the way down. And they become one with the wave. It's the most beautiful thing to see. And that's what they're saying here. You're going to have different energy levels, vibrations, that you need to become in tune with, and you need to flow with them and not work against them. So if you have a challenge before you, don't try to fight your way through it. You want to try to align yourself with that challenge somehow and flow through it and just ride that wave all the way out. Don't use the forcing current. Go into your sanctuary and become aware of your oneness, your divinity. Connect to that and then ride through the resistance. In so doing, one sets one's desired result adrift in the current of the energies and allows that momentum to carry one's heart's desire into manifestation. You have to trust that when you get up on that surfboard, that wave is going to carry you for a wonderful journey. You have to trust and trust. And have faith in faith. And have no attachment to the outcome. No attachment at all. It says here, non-attachment to outcome further enhances one's ability to realize an elevated result. You don't know how long that ride is going to be on that surfboard, on that one particular wave. You don't know how long it's going to last. You don't know how turbulent it may become. But you continue to stay with it, stay in harmony with it. And wherever it takes you, you're okay with it. It's cool because you're in the flow. And everything is in divine order. So they end this paragraph by saying, when one's approach to living is one of trusting that the highest possible outcome will be forthcoming, that is one's experience of life. By resisting the inclination to allow fear-based conditioning to direct your choices, you reinforce your experience of riding the current in harmony. Isn't that beautiful? Just let it go. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the experience. Enjoy the wind in your face and the water. Oh, my goodness. And the miracle of life itself. And know, expect only the highest good for you and for everyone else involved in the experience. It's going to be for the highest good of all. If you have questions or comments, I'm going to open the lines now. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. I'd love for you to share with me this morning. Hey, Dr. Reggie, you finally made it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, bless your heart. I missed you this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for missing. I don't know what happened. It was weird. Very strange. But I'm here.
Oh, God bless you. Do you have any comments this morning? Wasn't this a beautiful lesson?
I love this message because one thing, even in the midst of fear, something, a visual came to me that when people are freaked out by something, even a wave or sea, whatever they're freaked out by, they're sending out these energy waves themselves, the vibrational energy of panic. So forces that want to help us and come to us are drowned in panic.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn to send out this calm energy, even in the midst of fear, that we have faith and trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
And those energies are very calm, and aid will come to us, guaranteed every time. It's a very powerful lesson.
It was. Or it is a powerful lesson. It really is. You know, the thing that I've noticed about this text and all texts, and I've shared this with you guys before, that they all have a rhythm and a flow. And, you know, even when you watch a movie, if any of you guys watched the Academy Awards last night, there's a climactic, you know, it starts slow and it rises you up to a climax and then it takes you down. It's always an experience. This particular chapter has a very mellow flow to it because it's talking about harmonizing, and it's all there in the text, in the words, and the rhythm of the words. It's amazing. Zero 411. I'm trying to get you're on the air.
Greetings, everyone.
Greetings, Anthony.
Yes. I have so much to talk about, but I know time won't allow because so much has come up as you were speaking.
Take your
time. There's so many verses that were coming up, and I was like, oh, man. It's interesting how someone can be talking, you'll be in a conversation, and things that just pop up, spiritual statements or quotations or something someone else might have said, and they just pop up in your head, and there were so many of them. But I will begin by this because all of this added to this, and I want to ask the question. If all of us who are on this call right now were to be told by the creator of the universe that you get to make 3 wishes, and those 3 wishes, all you had to do is think of them, and they would come to pass, How many of us would take on that exercise and do it without adding anything to it, which is our works, which with our works, any man should boast? Because, see, when God says faith without works is dead, he's not talking about the physical work, which we, as people of African descent, been accustomed to because we were forced to do that. But he's not talking about that kind of work. He's talking about the work that's between our head, that's between our head. And that's the hardest work for us to do, is to join ourselves with the energy and the flow that God has us to manifest the greatness that's in all of us. And he wants us to do that. And that's the hardest thing. That's the work that he's talking about doing, faith without works. And the works is us believing and trusting that whatever it is that is in his good will, and we know what his good will is, that he will do.
What's his good will?
That we prosper and be in good health, as even thy soul prospers and be in good health. And health means all the way across the board, both physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
The whole soul of the body. The entire soul of the body. And I'm just thankful. I'm telling you, I have not gotten this book yet, but trust me, I will be going over it. But I, it's this stuff is just so powerful, and just the energy just resonates with me, what this book is sharing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for sharing. You know, if you think of something else, just to press one, okay?
Okay.
Start writing it down, because you know, make little notes. But when you bring it to the forefront, because I love your lessons, okay? I love your contributions.
Yeah, but I just like to listen too, and just give space to others' comments, because God didn't create us all from different walks of life, so we all have a different perspective on the same thing. Just like the scriptures, you have several books talking about the same thing, but they come from different angles. It's like a branch on branches on a tree.
Yeah.
All of them have the same root, but there's different branches getting different sunlight from different angles. And I like to listen to different angles, and I'm growing to the point that there are different perspectives, and there are no right and wrongs. They're different perspectives.
That's exactly right. There's only one truth anyway. Thank you so much for sharing. Good morning, 3331.
Good morning, Cynthia. This is an awesome lesson. It's so blessed and anointed. I'm so glad to be here and be a part of this this celebration. Faith over fear. What a lesson. Allow and let be. That's all I hear the Spirit says, allow and let be.
Amen.
Because all working for all our higher good, everything that we have experienced. And I love what you said. When the drama is there, believe it. It's at the end. You're really in a bad spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get caught up in the illusion. That's the biggest thing that we have to learn as light beings. Don't get caught up into the illusion, because it's all illusion.
Amen.
God tells us we have the victory in everything.
Mm-hmm.
We have it in everything that we have to face or deal with. So it's I love it. Stay in the flow. Just allow. Allow. Let be.
Thank you. We have 60 seconds. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. Dr. Reggie.
Thank you, Jean. What a beautiful contribution. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the people listening and for their input. What a holy instant we experienced with them. We thank you for them. Every contribution is a divine contribution. We thank you for love and life. We thank you for friendship and family. We thank you for parents and children and great friends, and all of them in our cosmic family. Thank you, God, for this lesson. Thank you for Cynthia being the instrument of the lesson. We thank you for the input and the output of love. We believe this is so as we go on, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, and Dr. Reggie as well. And we'll be here tomorrow, and we'll pick up the rest of this chapter tomorrow. Stay in the moment. God bless.